Well, since dynamism is very much in the air this morning, let's welcome to the airwaves the dynamic Manishi Raychaudhuri, head of APAC Equity Research at BNP Paribas. Sorry, Manishi, if you don't get our little inside joke, but we've been talking about dynamic zero in China a lot. And for our colleagues over at the Markets Live blog, they'd like to get your views on where you see the most value in China. And because that's a maybe too broad of a question, let me ask you, do you see more value in the equity market in the oil patch, in materials, or in technology?
I would say, when investing in China, one has to look at it thematically. Number one, the Chinese government has been trying to stabilize the economy using infrastructure investments. So we would think that industrials would play an important role, in terms of stabilizing the economy and also in terms of earnings growth going forward. We are already seeing signs of EPS estimates moving up in industrials. So that would be one of the choices I would make. Apart from this, I would say consumer discretionaries, which are also showing similar signs of earnings inflection upwards, but very selectively. I would rather focus on those companies which are market leaders and therefore have significant degree of pricing power. Third, I would also look at the beaten down technology sector, which I think you talked about briefly, because we think that much of the regulatory pressures are possibly already behind us. So those are the three important areas. Finally, also some of the financials, banks, insurance, again, selectively, those ones which have relatively better asset quality and very high degree of dividend yields. In fact, high dividend yield is a theme that we are playing across Asia.
Manishi, do things change after the party congress just very quickly?
Of course. So that is something we are looking forward to as far as the restrictive COVID policies are concerned. Now, one doesn't know. Honestly, it is throwing a dart at this point of time. But, post the party congress in mid-October, some degree of easing of the policy is the best that we can hope for.
So we mentioned that you like India still remaining overweight there. This is a theme that I guess a lot of people we talk to have. Tell us why you're liking this market.
Two or three positive tailwinds are coalescing together for India. First, a strong recovery in the domestic market. The domestic economy has revived strongly if you look at the tax collection numbers or the freight volume numbers. Second, commodity prices moderating, oil prices rolling over. That would obviously aid the current count and stabilize the currency. In fact, the Indian currency in this environment has been one of the more stable ones. And third, in some sectors, not in all the sectors, but in some of them, earnings estimates are beginning to revive. One of the most prominent ones is financials, which is, almost about 30% of the Indian market. The market's also oversold. About $33 billion of FII selling occurred between October last year and July this year. So that's beginning to revive as well.
Still in all, the valuations are quite high there. Are you counting for those revisions in earnings to maybe ease the pressure on those price earnings levels?
That's absolutely correct. India has always been expensive, and currently it's trading almost at about 60% premium, if you look at price earnings or price to book, compared to the Asian average. So yes, valuation is a concern, and particularly the more expensive sectors would possibly have to be avoided by investors for now. The market may also see what we call some kind of a time correction, or the market stays flat, consequently the valuations improve a bit. There's no easy solution, but still, relative to some of the North Asian market, it presents a more stable picture.
Manishi, you're overweight Indonesia too, which is basically the outperformer and at these records. How much further upside here?
Indonesia is, again, a slightly different story because we have seen a very strong momentum as far as earnings estimates are concerned, driven by its commodity exporter nature. And that has actually percolated down to some of the domestic sectors like consumer discretionaries as well. You know, so on Indonesia, we do see continued upside. So it is not just a relative trade compared to other Asian markets, but there could be absolute upside from the current levels. You know, it's difficult to sort of pinpoint how much, but, you know, anything between 8 to 10% is our year-end target for the JCI.
So, Manishi, a huge tax cut or something like a tax cut for Asia would be if oil prices continue to fall. We did have this death cross form here with the 50-day moving average falling below the 200-day. What are your projections for where oil goes over the next 6 months?
You know, I mean, of course, I mean, I don't deal with the commodity market. I mean, we have a different team for that. But yes, I mean, I think oil prices declining is a direct reflection of the recessionary concerns in the developed markets. So, you know, as long as these concerns, and particularly in the European region, as long as they persist, oil and other commodity prices would possibly continue to drift down and stay at relatively lower levels. Which is obviously, as you rightly pointed, and I'll borrow that phrase, it's kind of a tax cut for the Asian region, which are predominantly commodity importers. So I think, consequently, I think the, you know, the Asian markets, which are purely domestic in nature, which don't really have to export too much to the developed markets, they are in a really sweet spot. You know, they are domestically driven, and at the same time, the costs that they have to pay, the prices that they have to pay for the commodity imports, that's coming down rapidly, and obviously that's going to reflect in their currencies and you know, in their current accounts.
All right, Manishi, thank you. Manishi Rashadari, head of APAC equity research at BNP Paribas, on the line from Hong Kong for us.